My name's Hayden, and I have the joy of being the senior pastor here at Walk Church. And on behalf of our team, we're so grateful that you could be in so many different places this evening, whether online or in the room. We honor you for joining us for Christmas Eve tonight, and we'd love to hear more of your story and get to know more how God is moving in your life. And over the past few weeks, we have enjoyed this series at Walk Church called Christmas at the Movies. And I don't know about you, but my family and I love to watch these different Christmas classic movies and kind of stretch out the season and just be reminded of the Christmas cheer. And it's been a good time together. We opened up with a movie called White Christmas, an old school movie. We talked about how through faith in Jesus, he takes our sin and he washes us white as snow. We then talked about the movie Home Alone and how sometimes we allow the voices of other people to be louder in our heads than God's voice. And this Christmas season, we need his voice to be the loudest. And we talked about having a battle plan because spiritual warfare is real, amen? Right? And reconciliation, making it right with those people in our lives is the goal. We talked about a Charlie Brown Christmas and how Charlie Brown was searching for the true meaning of Christmas, and Linus goes and he quotes Luke chapter 2 and reminds them of the true meaning. And I love when he quotes what the angel said to the shepherds, and fear not, and there Linus lets go of his blankie. It's the only moment we know that he does that. And what he's communicating is that Jesus is an even greater source of security. He's an even greater treasure than the treasures of this earth. This past Sunday, we talked about the Grinch and how his heart was two sizes too small. And we realized that Christmas is about Jesus changing our hearts, transforming us, in fact, taking out the heart of stone and giving us a new heart, a heart that is on fire and passionate about his things and changing the desires of our heart. And so we've enjoyed this series, kind of taking the cinema to scripture and looking at these parables and saying, okay, Jesus, what is your story? And that leads us to tonight, what movie we've identified for this evening. If you've never seen it, I'm sure you'll see glimpses of it tomorrow. There's going to be multiple 24-hour marathons of this movie. And simply put, it's called A Christmas Story. And maybe you've heard of A Christmas Story before, but it's about this young boy with these glasses and his little cute personality as he is dreaming and consumed with Christmas, and he really wants to get this Red Ryder rifle BB gun. He's very passionate about it. Somebody said, yeah. He was really excited about getting this Red Ryder BB gun, and it really was the consuming thought on his mind throughout the Christmas season. But he learned some valuable life lessons throughout this movie. I think one of the life lessons he learned was to not stick your tongue where it doesn't belong. Hello. We see this scene right here where he double dog dares him to put his tongue on the winter pole right there, and it didn't end well. And so I think that's a good moment. Don't let people double dog dare you to do things you shouldn't do. Amen. I think another thing that we learned from this movie is kids don't need to play with automatic weapons. Come on, amen? You know, everybody, multiple times throughout the movie, says, I want this Red Ryder BB gun. They say, kid, you're going to shoot your eye out, right? And when he finally gets a hold of a weapon, it doesn't seem to go well for him, and he realizes, okay, maybe that wasn't the meaning of Christmas for me. This movie also documents their family, and their family, you know, had their own challenges, right? The dad was a little bit cranky and kind of going through his own journey in life. And there's this moment where they're trying to put the star on the tree and they just can't get it right. Does anybody else struggle to put the star on just right? Or just us? Okay. Well, the star is crooked. They were trying to get it fixed and it ended up making things worse. And here's what I wrote down in my notes. You know, I think we can try to aim for perfection this Christmas, but I think if we do, our aim's off. The real Christmas story is not about making everything perfect, but about focusing our attention on the perfect one himself. And that's what I want us to do with the remainder of this message is, this movie's called A Christmas Story. I want to talk to you about The Christmas Story. And The Christmas Story is actually recorded for us in Luke chapter 2 and in Matthew chapter 1 and these early moments of the gospel. In fact, the Christmas story is all throughout the Bible. But I'm going to read a chunk of scripture out of Luke chapter 2, and my prayer is it'll stir our hearts and affections again for the true meaning of Christmas, which is Christ the Lord. So if you're ready, say ready. If you're hungry, say let's eat. Well, Father, we're here tonight. We're ready to eat from your word. We need bread. We need bread, the bread of life. So feed us now. In fact, I just want to invite you to pray with me. If you're online or in the room, just ask Jesus right now to speak to you. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, and teach us today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy," amen, "that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called, come on, say it with me, Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of the Lord. This is the Christmas story. I think those first 21 verses in Luke chapter 1 is full of so much rich testimony of the original Christmas story. But I love what's going on in Luke chapter 2. And I think there's a few things that we can pull from this gospel when we think about what is the Christmas story. I wrote this in my notes, just a couple points for us to consider tonight. Number one, the Christmas story is about a glorious God with a redemptive plan. The Christmas story preaches a message to us that God is a redeemer. He actually has a redemptive plan from long, long ago. The word redeem means to buy back, to restore to its original purpose, to use something for a greater purpose. The reality is all of us in this room are broken in some capacity. We've missed the mark. We're fellow strugglers. Can I just tell you, Christmas teaches us that God has a redemptive plan. If you journey way, way back to the garden in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find a couple, the first ever married couple, Adam and Eve. They had just fallen into sin. God had given them a clear command to not eat from a specific tree in the garden. And there was a serpent in the garden that day that tempted them to rebel against God's word. He twisted the scriptures just enough and they believed the lie. And they fell into sin, and because God is holy and righteous and just, in his righteousness, he removes Adam and Eve from his presence. He separates them in the garden that day. But what I love about God is even though he separated them, he still put forth a plan to redeem them. He had a redemptive plan in his heart all along. You know what that plan was called? Christmas. In Genesis chapter 3, we find God rebuked the serpent who had just deceived Adam and Eve. And here's what God speaks to the serpent. Look at verse 15. It says, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And I believe that this right here is one of the first prophetic verses that point to King Jesus. God is affirming and he's declaring that sin has taken place and this enemy, this serpent has caused a terrible thing to happen, this separation between man and God. But God would send forth a seed who would come from the woman. This offspring shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What's this declaring? It's saying that this one day there'd be this seed that would come from the woman and this seed would be born of a virgin and he would grow up and he would crush the enemy's head on the cross and he would bruise his heel on the cross. And this picture, although if you just read Genesis 3, you might not understand what it's talking about, but in the full context of the Bible, we know that God had a redemptive plan all along. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, this is hundreds of years before Mary and Joseph were even alive. God prophesies through a man named Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Here, read this scripture off the screen with me. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. God had a redemptive plan set forth that he would send forth. The Lord himself would send forth a sign. Maybe you'd say, what's the sign? How do we know? Here's the sign. There'll be a virgin. And she'll have a baby. She'll conceive this baby. It'll be a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. We believe this is what happens in the Christmas story. I just want to tell you tonight that it is impossible, physically and scientifically, for a virgin to conceive a baby. But we also know that what's impossible with man is possible with God. In fact, there's nothing that he can't do. So you take Genesis 3, you add Isaiah 7, and then we turn our attention to Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. The angel appears to Mary. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? That's similar language. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. He'll be the Son of God. And this Son of God came to fulfill the prophetic promises from Genesis to Isaiah and beyond, ultimately to redeem for himself a people. Can I tell you? That's us. I love what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4. Look at these verses with me. I know it's quite a few scriptures, but I pray that it's helpful in this season to understand the meaning of the Christmas story. Galatians 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to, come on, say the word with me, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Friend, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him by faith, you're under the law and your sin has condemned you because you've fallen short of his glory. You're in a spiritual orphanage that's heading to an eternal destruction. But God sends forth his son, born of the woman, to redeem you from that curse and to adopt you into his family, amen? Oh, I love the Christmas story because it reminds me that I was lost, but now I'm found through faith in Jesus. You know what the Christmas story is about? It's about a glorious God who has a redemptive plan. He wanted to buy you back. Yeah, you sinned, but he wanted to buy you back. Yeah, there was a wage, but he wanted to buy you back. And Jesus paid that wage with his life, his death, his resurrection. The second thing that I see about the Christmas story is that the Christmas story is about a glorious God using an unlikely people. Yeah. Amen? Amen? I've found the longer I walk with Jesus and the longer I walk with myself, I realize God loves to use unlikely people. God tends to find the underdog, the outcast, the struggler, the humble. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen? To the person who is here tonight or watching online that says, you know what? I'm actually not that special. I'm probably unlikely the one to be picked. Oh, hold on a second. You might be the exact person that God's looking for tonight. If you look at the Christmas story, amen, God loves to use unlikely people, not just unlikely people, unlikely places. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we find this prophetic verse in the Old Testament. Look what the Lord says. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old. We just looked at those old verses, right? From ancient days, God had a plan. Where is this Messiah going to come from? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Come on, God would, listen to me. If anybody tells you God's not at work in Las Vegas, they're lying. I believe God's doing a movement in our city, amen? Come on. If God can move in, oh, little Bethlehem, God can move in the city of sin, amen? And he can transform it for his glory. I think Christmas reminds us that God would choose to send his son. He wouldn't necessarily have a big, old press conference and ceremony to announce the birth of King Jesus. In fact, he would choose the littlest among the clans of Judah to bring forth the Savior of the world. Amen? I love that God chooses unlikely places. In fact, in one place in the gospel, they say, Jesus grew up in Nazareth. What good could come out of Nazareth? Christ can come from Nazareth. Amen? What comes out of Bethlehem? Did you know that historically, the town of Bethlehem was titled the place where you find bread? Bethlehem is the town of bread. I think it's fitting that the bread of life would be born in the place where you find bread. Amen? Do you need some bread tonight? I don't know what type of bread you need. If we can help you, I'd love to help you. But here's what I know. The real bread, the capital B bread, is found in him. Man doesn't live off bread alone. Every word, come on, that comes from him. He is the bread. God loves to use an unlikely people. In fact, in between Bethlehem and Nazareth is a place called Egypt. And Egypt's not the most popular place in the Bible, right? In fact, there was an exodus out of Egypt. But isn't it fitting that God would speak to Joseph through an angel after Jesus is born and say, hey, take Jesus to Egypt? Why the pit stop in Egypt? In fact, I think that's a prophetic verse being lived out from Hosea chapter 11. Verse 1, the prophet Hosea says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. It's a prophetic picture. You know why I think Jesus makes a pit stop in Egypt? Because Egyptian people need redemption too. Jesus was stopping in all the places that seemed to be on the outskirts. Samaritans needed redemption too. Tax collectors needed redemption too. I believe Jesus loves to move in unlikely people's hearts and lives. How about in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9? Who were the first people to hear that Christ was born? Do you guys know? Who did the elite level angels, the multitude of heavenly hosts say, okay, who should we tell first? Should we tell King Herod? Should we tell Caesar? Should we tell Pontius Pilate? Should we announce it on the broadcast? And God says, no, I want to share it with some unlikely people. Let's tell the shepherds. Come on, look at the verse. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I'm so glad they came to work that night. Can you see them? They're out there. How's it going? That's all right. Nothing really new here. Just watching the sheep. Yeah, I know. We're faithful. We're consistent. Our work seems pretty regular and mundane. And can I tell you, God's in it. I think God identifies most with the shepherds, right? And he says, I want to pronounce this to the shepherds. I love what the shepherds say. The Lord made this known to us. They cherished it. God loves to use unlikely people. Here's what I wrote in my notes. It's a reality statement. Hear me. Come on, hear me tonight. Today, if you feel like you're in the category of unlikely, you may be more likely than you think. Amen? I don't know. Maybe I just wrote this to my own self. I feel like there's times throughout the day, throughout the weeks where I go, I don't know if God's got the right one. I feel like that's kind of unlikely. But I'm realizing the more I read the scriptures, God loves the unlikely. He loves to use them. He loves to move through them. In fact, who would have thought that on Christmas Eve in 2024, God would say, you know what? I'm going to use a middle school cafeteria to declare my praise. Amen. And yet here we are. And you made it. We're in it. We're still in Christmas. Amen. You know, I was thinking about Christmas Eve a couple years ago, and I remember being in this same place, and I remember talking with a few friends of mine that are a part of our church, this incredible family. The family is known as the Casella family. And look, they got some cheers, and we love the Casellas and the journey that they've been on, and the Rice family as well, and just how God's been moving. But I remember this specific Christmas Eve a few years ago. There was almost this sense of something different was happening this night. And I remember I asked one of the brothers, what's going on? They said, our brother's coming. I said, who? They said, Noah. And I said, who's Noah? And they said, well, he hasn't came yet. In fact, he's been going through it. And then Noah walked in the door and I knew what they meant at that point. Brother was going through it. In fact, his heart was hard. He didn't want to be there. I had a whole conversation with him and he didn't look at me. He is there because his dad brought him, and he was a bit angry. Angry at life, angry at his circumstance and situation, but God loves to use the unlikely, amen? And Noah's journey had a profound moment that night, but God had so much more than just that moment. Let's take a look at these screens and take a look at Noah's story.
My name is Noah Casella. I was born in Las Vegas. I'm the middle kid of six. And my life growing up had a lot of traumatic moments where there was a lot of fear and uncertainty throughout my growing up, my family. But one of the things that I do remember, one of the things that really stuck out was a memory when I was 5 years old. I was at Royal Rangers. It was a church that my dad had been taking us to, and the teacher asked all of us who wants to ask Jesus into their heart. And I remember very vividly wanting to know who this Jesus was. Throughout my entire young adulthood and the struggles that I had, God was always still there guiding me and telling me that that I could make it through. Despite the kind of trauma and chaos that I experienced growing up in Las Vegas in a broken family. Part of that brokenness was because of the traumatic environment I was in. I was just under constant fear. I was afraid of everything. I just really never had any peace or happiness or joy in my life. One of the things that I used to kind of break away from the reality that I was living in and the kind of pain that I was experiencing from just different things in my life was, you know, drugs. I had a real affinity to kind of escape reality and drift off into not feeling and experiencing the pain. And that led to a whole host of kind of deeper darkness that was connected to a lot of sin. Some of the stuff I did took me to a place where it was just so dark, and the despair and hopelessness was consuming. And honestly, there was a couple times where I thought I might not make it out. There was a few times to where I thought this might be the end. I thought, you know, I was saying my final prayers, like, God, you know, I failed, forgive me. And the Holy Spirit was with me, telling me, you know, kind of guiding me on the road that He wanted me to take, but my flesh was so weak that I didn't listen. I made a hard choice to go to rehab, which it was God working all along, because I had been in the Army. They covered it completely. I was supposed to go there for 3 months, and for the first time in my life, I wasn't trying to do things on my timeline, but I was working according to God's timeline. And I said, no matter how long it takes, I'm just here, and I'm not leaving until God says so. So I wound up spending just under a year there, and it was life-changing. That Christmas Eve that I kind of was, my dad kind of drugged me out because I was a little bit out of it, but I didn't really want to be there. And I remember there was a few times to where I didn't want to be there because I felt shame. I felt like maybe I wasn't worthy, but I came anyways. During the worship, during the preaching, it was God's Spirit just showing me and lovingly kind of reminding me that He came, He was born to come into the world to save sinners. And he saved a sinner like me. So now, in the words of my dad, you never look more like Christ than when you're serving. And one of the great honors that I had before my mom passed on a couple years ago, was serving with her in the 412. She spent the last couple weeks of her life, even though she couldn't walk, she was in pain, but she said yes. She put her yes on the table, and she decided to serve. And one of the beautiful moments that I'll never lose was spending those last few weeks with her, loving on the kids, teaching them about God, and making a difference. And getting the 412 award was really full circle. From me being 5 and somebody introducing me to Jesus, to now being rewarded and awarded for what God has given me to pour out into the young kids. And I think it's just all really surreal and beautiful, what God has done, and He's just getting started.
So good. Amen. I love what he said there. It's beautiful to see what God has done, and he's just getting started. Did I see my boy Noah over here? Is he right there? He is. Come on, let's go ahead and honor him for sharing his story. It's not easy to do, and I see so many of the Casella family, Rice family, and just honored to celebrate another Christmas Eve with you guys. And Noah, thank you for serving in our church the way that you do, and thank you for bringing us into your testimony, and we honor you here tonight. Come on, one more time, amen. Powerful. I'm grateful for God's redemptive work in your life and what he's continuing to redeem in all of our lives, amen. And today, if you can relate to his story, you know, there was a mom who came up to me right after this previous service and just talked about how her child is just so far. God said, well, hopefully just by that story just shows you, never give up. Yes. Never stop praying, amen? Never stop believing. Never stop inviting, because he can do it. Amen. The final point of this message as we get ready to close is, when it comes to the Christmas story, it's about a glorious God who gave his only son. And I know that may sound a bit familiar at this point, but I don't want it to get too familiar that we miss the fact that it was God who gave his son. I originally was thinking about the word send, and I think the word send is good, and I think it's helpful, but the Christmas story, the more biblical approach is that God gave his son. That God would look at his one and only begotten son and say, I'm going to give him so that he could receive us. That he would give his son to redeem himself in a people here in Las Vegas. I love what Isaiah 9:6 says. Again, the prophet Isaiah with a second Christmas prophetic verse. He says, for to us a child is born. Come on, read it with me. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. This is who he is. I love the nicknames of God right here. Listen to me. If you came in here tonight and you're thinking, man, you know what? I'm messed up. I need counseling. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He could counsel you through all of your situations. The word wonderful means unusually good. He's got the counsel you need. But maybe tonight you would say, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit weak. I feel like my strength is zapped. Listen to me. Jesus is a mighty God. The word mighty means exceeding in power and strength. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. Well, maybe tonight you might say, well, guess what? There's a lot of people who've walked out on me. Not everybody has stayed the course. In fact, maybe even your parents haven't been there like they could have or should have been. Listen to me. Jesus is an everlasting Father for his people. Can I tell you, you can go to the one who's always there. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the everlasting one. He's the first. He is there. He's the everlasting Father. Or maybe tonight you might just say, you know what? I lack peace, Pastor Hyden. I got a lot of stuff, but I don't got peace. I don't got the shalom of God in my heart. Can I just tell you, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. You could be in the boat with the winds and the waves crashing in on you and have a peace because you have Christ. Amen? This is what Christmas is all about. God gave his son, and ooh, what a gift he gave. Wonderful counselor. Oh, sometimes I need some counseling sessions with King Jesus. I don't want to lean on my own strength. I'm grateful for the mighty God. Amen. Prince of Peace, everlasting. He's not going anywhere. Amen. If you're looking for Jesus, he's where he was. And if you draw near to him, listen to me, watch out. He's going to draw near to you. And guess what? The thing that's even more wild is that he wants to. Jesus isn't somewhere burdened by your praying. In fact, he's delighting in your seeking of him. What's Christmas all about? What's the Christmas story? It's about a glorious God who gave his only son. Luke 2:11 references this giving, right? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He was born for this moment. My final verse that I want to point your attention to is a verse we quote often here at Walk Church, but we never want to get bored with it because it's our story. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. You might know it in your heart, or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard it, but I want to share it with you now. Here's what the scriptures say. It says, for God so loved. Come on, everybody say, so. In fact, drag that O on a little bit. Say, so. God so. If you erase the so, you miss the affection of God's love. You miss the endurance of God's love. The so is there so that you know he so loved you. He so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish. Thank you, Jesus, for not letting us perish in our sin, but instead that we would have eternal life. So here's my question to you tonight. Do you have the Son? Have you put your faith in Jesus? That is the Christmas story. Have you received him as your Lord and your Savior? Can I just tell you tonight, it's as easy as A, B, C. A, you got to admit that you're a sinner. I love what Noah did in his testimony. He said, you know what? I had to just get to this place. I had to just admit I'm a sinner. In fact, he says it. I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, forgive me. God loves to hear that prayer. Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that he's the Savior. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I'm not staying there. I believe that you're the Savior. And then C, there's power in confession. Confess that he's the Lord. Jesus is Lord, whether you confess him or not, but you have to make that decision. Is he your Lord? Have you submitted yourself to his lordship and leadership in your life, which is the best decision you could make? And so tonight, if you haven't done that, I want to give you an invitation. I want to invite you to do that right now. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, there was one of our students here at Walk Church. He pulled me aside after church. And I could tell he was wrestling in his heart and mind. I said, what's going on, man? And he goes, man, Pastor Hyden, I just got to tell you, you gave me that invitation and I wasn't going to do it, but I just felt like I just knew this was my next step. I lifted my hand and I prayed to receive Christ. And he was a new creation through that faith, through that moment. Why do I share that? That could be your story online. That could be your story in this room tonight. It's Vashon just saying, as our team, hope was born this day for you. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes, and I want to invite you to pray with me. If you're here in the room right now, and you have recognized and admit, I'm a sinner, but you also recognize tonight, Jesus is the Savior, and you've repented of your sins, you've said, you know what, I'm turning from those things. And right now with faith, I confess Jesus is Lord. And you're ready to do that right now. Would you just lift your hand? Not necessarily if you've done that in the past, but if this is your moment to receive him now. Would you just lift your hand if you're ready right now? I see there's different people making a decision right this moment. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everybody who has their hand up right now. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me now. Just say, Lord, I believe. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you're my Savior. And I confess right now that you, Jesus, are my Lord. I open my hands. Lord, open my heart. I repent of my sins. And I'm ready to follow you by faith. Fill me now with your Spirit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, praise God.